And we're going to eventually get to the Bible. Luke 4 actually will be the first verse, but a couple of announcements. First off, this weekend there's an introduction to the Bible class tentatively scheduled. If you're interested, see me afterwards. Then also 16th to the 18th of this month is Vacation Bible School 2. We enjoyed it so much last month, we're doing a repeat performance. And also at the end of the month is the Men's Advance, the second annual Men's Advance, July 27th to 29th. If you would like more information or handouts concerning all of those, I have them up here in the folder up here, so you can get all of that. So those are things that are coming up. Now, what we're going to look at here is true liberty. In other words, what's worth fighting for and fighting whom? Keeping the priorities right. Because as great as this nation is, there are other great nations throughout the years, and it still comes down to our being part of the family of God, in the nation of God, as God's townspeople. And that's the greatest thing. Our first alliance always should be to God and the things of God. In New Hampshire, you may have heard of that state, little state out east. You know, at least one good thing's come out of New Hampshire. My wife's from. So I've seen license plates there, and it says, "Live Free or Die." Of course, naturally, they turned that into a movie. Right? Live Free or Die Hard, I guess, is coming out. So anyway, that's where it comes from, is the Massachusetts, God forbid, the New Hampshire license plate, Live Free or Die. And in Luke 4, we want to live in the freedoms that Christ earned for us and not under the law, the bondage of the law, the bondage of what we cannot do, but the greatness of what we have and what we can do and the freedoms of that. Ron gave a definition from Merriam-Webster. I'd like to read the five definitions for the first segment of the definition for liberty. Because liberty, freedom, and free are all very similar Greek words. I tell them to you, but I just mispronounce them anyway. But they all basically are related to the same things. And liberty or freedom means the quality or state of being free. It means the power to do as one pleases. And boy, can that be taken wrongly. But you do have the power to do as one pleases. Freedom from physical restraint. You know, like when you get out of your straitjacket. Freedom from physical restraint. Freedom from arbitrary or despotic control. The positive enjoyment of various social, political, economic rights and privileges. That's what we're enjoying today. We have the freedom to come here, and we don't have to worry about the secret police descending upon us. The positive enjoyment of various social, political, economic rights and privileges. And also, liberty means the power of choice. And that's a lot of what we're going to do. Once you're born again of God's Spirit, you're going to heaven. You don't have a choice there anymore. But how you spend your life is where the choice comes in. In Luke 4, verse 18, Jesus Christ, in his inaugural proclamation of what he was sent to do, 4:18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach to Caruso deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are being beaten to a pulp," those that are being bruised, "to set at liberty those who are under the thumb of the adversary, those who have been in bondage to death and to this world all their lives. This is what he came to do." Verse 19 then says, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." To set at liberty, to give freedom to those who want it. And the true freedom then comes from God's word and the accomplishments of Christ. John 8, please. John 8. Verse 31. Then said Jesus, John 8:31, to the Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." He was addressing a multitude, and then there was a group of Pharisees that didn't believe, but there was a group that believed. And to that group he said, "If you continue in my word," that means you don't know it all. "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, people take this out of context, right? I know what you did. Tell me the truth. It'll set you free. No, that's not what it's talking about. You can't use that one, parents. Sorry. People throw that out of context all the time. It's specifically dealing with the truth pertaining to Jesus Christ, about God's Word, about God's plan of salvation, about what Jesus Christ died for. That's the truth. Know the truth about God's Word. Know the truth about who our Father really is. What a great, kind, loving Heavenly Father. Know the truth about the Messiah, that He really did come, that He really did pay the price. That's the truth that will make you free. Then answered him. So now the rest of the Pharisees are jumping in. We be Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage to any man. Well, actually, they're in bondage to the adversary, and they don't even know it. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is free to sin. Oh, doesn't say that. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If there is a lust, if there is a broken fellowship, this is disobedience to God, if there's a part of your life that is affecting you and pulling you from the truth, then you're a servant to that. You're a slave to that. That's what's taking you. That is what's going to affect your walk and the answers to prayer. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So where are you going to find true freedom? Through the Son. Through what the Son has accomplished on our behalf. That's where true freedom is. But if you just do whatever you want, you have liberty to do that. Unfortunately, there are laws in this country that keep you from doing that. Because if that was the case, there'd be a lot of cars blown up on, you know, with the bad drivers with them. And things like that. But somewhere along the line, you'd get blown up too. So the context again, we're looking at the bondage of the law of the servants of the Old Testament versus the freedoms we now have in Christ. But because you have freedoms, what do you want to do with it? What do you really want to do with it? Freedom versus bondage. Galatians 2, please. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. The believers thought they were free, and they were living in freedom in Antioch, in Galatia. But there were those who thought people should still be under the law. And they came and brought their bondage, their legalism, what you should do. I know how to run your life better than you do. Galatians 2, verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Oh, we got to love people like that. I would like some bondage today. We're secretly going to come in. Ah, you got liberties. Well, we can't have that. You're having too good a time. You need bondage. Verse 5, though, was the answer. To whom we gave place by subjection? No way. Not even for a second. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The truth of the gospel will continue. It's the gospel of freedom that Christ brought. Galatians 5:1. Liberty is a privilege that you have that's worth fighting for. 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which is another name for the law. Stand fast. You stand fast in the liberties that Christ made you free in. Christ is the one where the real freedom is. Doing what Christ wants. Doing what God has called you to do. That's the true liberty. That's the true... You have the ability now to do whatever you need to do, but it's up to you to live it and enjoy the freedoms. And don't be entangled into the yoke of bondage. Because... Entanglement, there's a great word there. Be not entangled again. Be not entangled again. Look at 2 Timothy. Don't get entangled with the bondage of this world, of the law. It means we live in a country that has laws. That doesn't mean you're free to do whatever you want from that aspect. but you have the freedoms to serve God, to serve Christ the way you're supposed to. Here's 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. Entanglement. The adversary is trying to entangle you, to keep you in bondage so you're not free to do what it is he wants you to do. 2 Timothy 2, 4. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. If you want to enter the spiritual realm and deal with the competition, you don't entangle yourself. You got to live in this life, right? You have to pay taxes, unfortunately. There are certain laws you have to abide by, but you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Doesn't mean you don't know what's happening, but you aren't entangled. This isn't the focal point of your life, the affairs of this life. Because if you don't entangle yourself, you can please him who has chosen you to be a soldier, who has chosen you to be in the competition. And if you strive, verse 5, for masteries, if you are going for the gold, if you're striving for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive by the rule book, lawfully. You don't get entangled with the affairs of the world. You live above the world. The world's here, but you don't live just for this world. You've got the freedom to serve God, to serve Christ, to obey and do what it is we need to do for him. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, Hebrews, James, Peter. You have been given liberties because of Christ. You have been given freedoms. Now it's a heart decision. It's up to you to decide what you want to do. Nobody can force you. Nobody can make you. But you know what? You get a bigger paycheck for all eternity. You serve him today. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. 2:18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. There are those who want to give you the flash of the world, who want you to get entangled. The vanities, the lusts, the wantonness. Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. The only true liberty comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and his accomplishments. What God has done as the author of the plan of salvation that Christ carried out. There's lots of promise of liberty, but only one true liberty, and that's worth fighting for. Let's read all of 19 again. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome of the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Those who taste of the greatness of what Christ has accomplished and then in turn turn around and get entangled in the affairs of this world, the latter end is worse as you succumb back into the lust and the wantonness of this world. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. The sow that was washed, who are wallowing in the mire. That's not where we want to end up, back in the muck and mire of the world. We want to continue to learn the freedoms and live the freedoms and not let the wantonness and the lust and the enticement of the entanglement take us out. There's nothing there. The true freedom is through Jesus Christ. That's the only place you're going to get it. Look at Romans 6. You've got choices, though. You have freedom. You have liberty. You can go the way of the world and end up like a dog returning to his vomit. A rather descriptive verse. Romans 6, verse 11. This sets before us freedom versus bondage, liberty versus slaves and entanglements of this world. Romans 6, 11. What are your priorities? You control your life, though, and it should be based on God's word. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. That's reckon. That's count. It's something you have to do. You count. You reckon ye also yourself to be dead unto sin, but instead alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, disobedience from what God wants you to do, broken fellowship, doing it yourself, using freedoms for yourself rather than for the greater goal of what God in Christ wants you to do. Reckon yourself dead, indeed, unto sin. Instead, reckon yourself alive, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because freedom and bondage are both mental things. It's in your mind, not where you live. It's in your mind. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Instead, yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace. You do it because of grace, because you want to be obedient out of love, rather than because you have to. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? Heck yeah! No, sorry. It says, God forbid. It's really grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Since it's grace, hey, we're free. Yeah, well, at what cost? God forbid, should we live our lives that way? 16, if it was translated today, would be, don't you know? Hasn't anybody told you? Hello, McFly! That's what it would be saying here. Every time you come across the channels and you see it, you got to stop for a little while. Anyway. Don't you know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Isn't it the great prophet Bob Dylan who said, you've got to serve someone? You've got to serve somebody? All right, that's a 60s thing for all of you who don't know what I'm talking about. All right, you got to serve somebody. Well, if you're serving the flesh, if you're serving sin, if you're disobeying God, you're still giving service to that sin. Oh, you're free. No, you're not. You're not at all. Don't you know this? Wake up. That to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked. Thank you. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Because you're free from sin, you now become the servants of right living, of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You didn't have to do what was right. You could do whatever you wanted to. You were servants of sin. Hey, whatever you want. If it feels good, do it. And in verse 21, I ask you a simple question, though. But what fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? What profit? What eternal rewards did you get? What benefit was it? For the end of those things is death. Well, you gained death. Thank you very much. You gained death. But now, being made free from sin, you become servants to God. You have your fruit. That is a benefit. That's something that deals with everlasting rewards. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. So where would you want your work to end up? Everlasting life, that kind of a fruit production, or the fruit that leads to death? Absolutely zero, nothing, nada. And whatever, milch in other languages. Zip. For the wages, verse 23, here's your paycheck. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:21. It's your choice. You're free. You've got liberty. But what is true liberty? Here, 8:21 gives us a great verse. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We are children of God. Wouldn't you want to live in glorious liberty? That is what God has called us to, glorious liberty. Or you could be in the bondage of corruption. Your choice. You got freedom. Chapter 8, verse 1.
Chapter 8, verse 1.
So, there is therefore plenty of condemnation. You sinner! Repent or you're going to end up in South Philly. Oh, sorry. Sorry. No. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Now no condemnation. So whatever you did in the past, forget about it. God did. Get yourself right with God. Move on. No condemnation to them that walk, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So you've got the law of sin and death, the corruption law, that the end is in, really just ends up in death. But you've got the law of the Spirit of life through the accomplishments of Christ Jesus. Verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there's the key. You have the freedom to walk totally for God, under no law, except one, the law of love. That's what that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is, the law of love. You walk out of love. You walk out of obedience. You walk for God out of thankfulness. That's what you have to do. We don't walk by the flesh, but by the totality of the new nature. It's God in Christ in you. It's by the Spirit. You're always there doing what God wants to do. And if God doesn't have anything for you to do today, take the day off. But check in with Him first. Too many times you're taking too many days off without checking in with Him. He's going, excuse me? Hello? Can I come in? Nope, sorry, too busy. That's the third week in a row you've been too busy for me. What kind of fruit are you producing? Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh, if you're just totally into this world, into the entanglements of this world, that's all you're thinking about. You do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, just to think about this world all the time, the result is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Have a nice day. Very simple, straightforward. Word of God interprets itself in the verse, right where it's written. What do you want? You got freedom. You got choices. What do you want to do? Ephesians 3:20. That's what liberty is. It allows you the choice. It allows you the freedom to go the direction that you want. And God is saying, choose my way. The rewards are much greater now and in the future. Ephesians 3:20, a tremendous verse. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, too many people unfortunately stop there. But the last part of that verse is why the first part of the verse is available. According, here's the standard, according to the power that works in us. So let me ask you a question. How much are we allowing God to work in us? If you are allowing God to work in you, what's available? Exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. It's not a question of God's willingness, not a question of God's ability. It's a question of allowing the limitlessness of God to live in us and to work in us to willing to do of His good pleasure. Go to Philippians 2. Just go over a couple pages. Philippians 2:13. This dovetails Ephesians 3:20. For it is God which works in you, both the willing to do of His good pleasure. The end result of God working in you and allowing His limitlessness is exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So then verse 14 tells us what we should do about it. Verse 14 says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. In other words, quit whining about it. If you're a servant of God, if you're a slave to Jesus Christ of Doulos, if you're a disciple, then do what it is as God works in you and quit whining about it. Just do it and watch what happens. It will only be exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And we will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, but only to the degree that we manifest that internal potential power. It's an eternal potential power. Go to James chapter 1. James 1:25. Well, our Father gave us another beautiful day, didn't He? Yep. Do you realize that the difference between liberty and liberties is as great as between God and gods? James 1:25. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed? Then look into liberty. Look into freedom. Hear the greatness of God's word and do it. Don't just talk about it. Do God's will. Do God's word if you want to be blessed. That's simple. 1 Corinthians 9. And it's not a burden. The word of God is given to us for profit. 1 Corinthians 9. At the end of your day at work, do you like give all the, you know, give, if you're in jobs where you get tips and you make money and all that, at the end of the day, do you give it all back to your boss? This isn't China. This is not a communist country. It's yours to keep. Don't give it back. Enjoy it. Be blessed. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all, men's not there, because it's women too. For though I be free from all. And are we free from all? Yeah, technically. Yeah, sure. Yet have I made myself servant unto all. What we're going to look at is Paul's attitude. Worth considering? The Apostle Paul? He did a few things. All right, this is his attitude towards freedom. Even though I'm free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all. Why? That I might gain the more. There's profit. There's gain for him being a servant. And unto the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all, that I might by all means save anybody who will listen. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Do you see his attitude? Do you see his heart of service? He's totally free. He chose, though, to be a servant to God and Jesus Christ and walk in the law of love. Do you think he might have a few rewards? We'll close in 2 Corinthians 3. The verse Mr. Booz quoted earlier. 2 Corinthians 3:17. So, the choice is ours. You've got freedom. You can just think you're enjoying life, but you really do have to serve somebody. You might as well serve the greatest, the kindest, the best master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do God's will, do His word, and see the fruit that abounds in this life. And the exceeding abundantly above that will be available for us now and in the future. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Put the Spirit of the Lord in your life. Walk in that Spirit. Serve God. Don't serve yourself. It's testimonial time. Carla, would you like to come up here for a second? Give her your microphone here. I didn't mean to bring you up front, but hey, what the heck. I'm done early, so they'll listen to you now. Carla's got something she'd like to share with all of us. So we're swiping Ron's thing here for a moment. Carla Vidicci, of Bob's Better Half. Give her a big hand. Yeah, if you want to just hold it, that'd be great. There you go. Then you give right back to Ron.
Just hold the mic.
There you go.
Okay. Back in March, my mom was needing surgery, so I flew to Albuquerque. And while I was there, I got laryngitis, which is common for me. And
And that's really difficult for a woman to have laryngitis.
It was. So anyway, I fly home, and 3-4 days later, which it should be gone, it wasn't gone. And so I decided I better go get it checked. So I go to the doctor, and basically it's just laryngitis. And so they gave me something so I could sleep at night. So I quit coughing and stuff. But they want to take an X-ray to see if I had pneumonia. So they take the X-ray, and they called me in, and the look she gave me was overwhelming. And she said I had some really ugly stuff going on in my lung. And they wanted me to do a CAT scan. So while I'm sitting there at Kaiser getting my prescription, I called to schedule the CAT scan, and I said, this is just a bunch of crap. I don't have what they say I have. And I hung up, and I went on. And when the thought or fear or dart would happen, I would dismiss it. So 2 weeks ago, the doctor calls me up and says, you need to get in here now. And that's when I pretty much fell to my knees. And it's like, okay, now do I really believe my father? Or do I believe this doctor? And lo and behold, that weekend, Sangit was in town. And I, as soon as I got there, I asked him if he would minister to me sometime that weekend. And we'd go through the weekend. And one morning, I don't even know which morning it was, he said, let's do it. I was like, okay. So we just went to the corner. He ministered to me. And that was that. So Tuesday, Bob had to come down here. And I went and had my CAT scan. And they said, we'll call you if something's wrong. If not, you'll get a letter. So a couple days later, my daughter calls me, and I'm checking in with her, and she says, oh, by the way, your doctor called. You need to call him. So I took a deep breath. I called my doctor, and they said that my lung was completely clear and whole, that there was nothing wrong with my lung. Who knows why? So I went home that night, and I made a drink. And I got my husband, and for the first time, I shared him what had been going on for 4 months. And what our Father did for us. So.
Thank you.
That's great.
So God is continuing to be a wonderful and cleansing God. So don't limit him, because that's in Ephesians 3:20. So don't limit God at all, and continue to, you know, Bob was kind of wondering why she wasn't quite right for a few months. Oh, he was not supposed to say, oh, Bob, I wasn't supposed to share that, was I? Oh. Well, anyway, but again, that's our God. That's our Father. He's a tremendous God who cares for us and will handle all aspects of our life if we continue just to go to him. Who was it? Was you? Oh, Jack's the one who's got it down about asking God the way Sangita says it. But anyway. Yep. Anyway, but God works tremendously all over the world and throughout all ages. So it's available for ministering is always available. Healing is always available. And God gave us a beautiful day to enjoy. So I'd like to close this segment with prayer, turn it over to Mr. Bruce for the last song, and then we can eat great and wonderful brownies that everybody brings, right? Okay. All right, Father, thank you for your great love for us, your care. We're thankful that you're such a wonderful God that cares about every little aspect of our life, big and small. We're thankful for giving us a gorgeous day, for this being a tremendous, tremendous day to enjoy each other, to enjoy the food, to enjoy your fellowship. We're thankful, Dad, that this is one day closer to when you're going to send your son back. And each day, as we look forward to that, we can enjoy each other and do what it is you've called us to do. We're thankful for your love, your kindness, and your goodness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.